Of course, we know space as a testing ground for technology like the New Horizons space mission, but we seldom think of it as a tool for social change. Turns out, that's a mistake. In his new book, We Could Not Fail, The First African Americans in the Space Program, Richard Paul and his co-author Stephen Moss highlight this little-known battleground in the fight for civil rights. Richard Paul joins us now. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
So the title of your book is We Could Not Fail. Who is we, and why was failure not an option?
That title actually comes from a quote from the book. Morgan Watson, who was NASA's first black engineer, said that when he and his colleagues went to NASA, they felt that the image of black people in America was riding on them as professionals, and they could not fail. And it really does speak to one of the very important things that this book reveals, which is that these individuals had a different sort of civil rights victory than what we read in the history books. We read about sit-ins, and we read about protests, and we read about strikes, and we read about Justice Department actions, and all of that was, of course, vitally important. What these individuals did was they had a civil rights victory just by showing up every day.
When we think about the civil rights movement, the acronym that comes to mind tends to be NAACP, not NASA. So how did NASA get into this equal opportunity game?
Well, it was forced in as President Kennedy was forced in, but a whole bunch of things came together during a month and a half in 1961. It was a course of about 5 weeks. April 12th, Yuri Gagarin becomes the first human in space. And so now the Soviet Union has won this important Cold War victory. April 20th, 8 days later, is the Bay of Pigs. So a Soviet ally is now established 90 miles off of Florida. And immediately after the Bay of Pigs, it's clear that it's a failure. President Kennedy calls up Vice President Johnson, who was the head of the National Space Council, and says, come up with something fast in space, because outer space is going to be the Hail Mary pass that changes everybody's mind or has them looking in a different place so they forget about Cuba. So May 5th, Alan Shepard becomes the first American in space. 9 days later, the Freedom Rides start. So that's where 7 black and 6 white young people get in a bus in Washington, D.C., and they head down to New Orleans with the whites in the back and the blacks in the front. So that's on the 14th. 10 days later, the bus is firebombed in Anniston, Alabama. And the next day, the president commits America to put a man on the moon by the end of the decade. A week later, mobs riot around the Freedom Rider bus in Montgomery. The governor declares martial law. And now President Kennedy is thrust in with both feet into the space program and civil rights. NASA, because of the president's commitment to put a man on the moon before the end of the decade, is going to end up hiring 250,000 new people, principally in Florida, Alabama, Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi. So we're right in the heart of the problem area for civil rights. The president knows he can't get a civil rights bill passed through Congress, so he decides to do what he can do through executive action. And the executive action that he has at hand is federal hiring and hiring by federal contractors. So he passes a presidential executive order that says that federal agencies can no longer discriminate because of race, and contractors have to put non-discrimination clauses into their federal contracts so that they will not discriminate. This comes right as NASA is hiring 250,000 new people, and so it has an impact.
What would you say to someone who made the argument that space exploration requires sort of the best and the brightest, and that it's not a place for social experimentation?
I think that there were a lot of people who did say that, and some of them actually worked for NASA. It was not something that James Webb, the head of NASA, believed. We found multiple letters, memos, etc., that were sent out from NASA to the directors of the NASA centers around the country, especially in the South, saying, I know your mission. You know your mission. We know that this is a mission-driven agency, but sometimes we are called on by the President of the United States to do things that are outside of our mission for the greater good of America and the greater good of the world. You need to find a way to do this regardless of whether it gets in the way of us getting to the moon.
When all said and done, did NASA accomplish the goal of accelerating the civil rights movement?
I would say no. If you look at it in terms of raw numbers, no. But on the other hand, when I asked Morgan Watson, who was NASA's first black engineer, whether he thought that NASA being in the South made a difference, he said it definitely did, because it showed people that African Americans could handle work of this sort. George Borda, who went along with Morgan Watson to be one of the first engineers at NASA back in the early 1960s, he said that in his family now, I think he said, we've got 8 engineers, and they all started because I was an engineer. So did it make a difference on a mega level? It's hard to say, and there are lots of different ways that you can calculate it, but did it make a difference in the lives of the people that were there? Absolutely.
Richard Paul is the co-author, along with Stephen Moss, of the new book, We Could Not Fail, The First African Americans in the Space Program. Richard, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.